Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you, worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High. Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, ascended far above all heaven that he might fill all things, mercifully give us faith to perceive that, according to his promise, he abides with his church on earth, even to the ends of the ages, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. Do not leave us comfortless, but send us your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to that place where our Savior Christ has gone before, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.
A reading from the book of Acts of the Apostles. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked Jesus, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as we saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The reading today is from Psalm 68, verse 1 through 10, 33 through 36. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. Let them vanish like smoke when the wind drives it away. As the wax melts at the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. Let them also be merry and joyful. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Exalt him who rides upon the heavens. Yahweh is his name. Rejoice before him. Father of orphans, defender of widows, God in his holy habitation. God gives the solitary a home and brings forth prisoners into freedom, but the rebels shall live in dry places. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook and the skies poured down rain. At the presence of God, the God of Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You sent a gracious rain, O God, upon your inheritance. You refreshed the land when it was weary. Your people found their home in it. In your goodness, O God, you have made provision for the poor. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. He rides in the heavens, the ancient heavens. He sends forth his voice, his mighty voice. Ascribe power to God. His majesty is over Israel. His strength is in the skies. How wonderful is God in his holy places, the God of Israel giving strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. A reading from the first letter of Peter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Just about in the middle of a 10-day period formerly called Ascension Tide, the week and a half between Ascension Day, last Thursday, and Pentecost. While I love that old Anglican nomenclature, and I do, I fully support our return to the use of even more ancient terms. They remind us that Easter is a season, not merely one day, that stretches across what are called the Great 50 Days from Easter Sunday through Pentecost next Sunday. Maybe we're even more aware of the Great 50 Days this time around because we've been largely confined to our homes this whole time, well, and more on both sides of those 50 days, away from our beloved church building. Still, within the 50-day Easter season, there is this major occurrence that marks a 40-day period. As you know, during these 40 days after his resurrection, our Lord appeared to his apostles and many others, teaching them. Then he ascended in heaven in their sight. The 40 days are a kind of mirror image of the 40 days he was tempted in the wilderness before beginning his three-year ministry. We find the same reflective occurrence in our church calendar, 40 days of Lent, then 40 days from resurrection to the ascension. The apostles were probably cognizant of the 40-day frame around our Lord's adult ministry, temptation on one end, and this post resurrection period on the other. Why wouldn't they stand gazing into the heavens, looking up into the sky? What else would they do? What next, they must have been thinking. And not for the first time. Now what? They might have felt a bit disoriented by the preceding 40 days, certainly by the previous 3 years. They were living in confusing times. Sound familiar? They tried to ground themselves, as we do, by posing religious, social, and political questions. So, is now the time for the kingdom of Israel to be restored, throwing off the weight of this foreign Roman occupation? Give us something to make sense of this, they seem to be saying to Jesus. But he basically turns the question aside, implying that that was not what was most important at this point. The disciples might have been looking for what we call a Hollywood ending, something to tie things up neatly. Maybe that's what they were looking for up in the sky. Neither Jesus nor either of the two angelic figures, the men in white, as opposed to the men in black, neither of them was going to provide such a satisfying ending. The angels or messengers were not much help. "You're barking up the wrong tree," they say. "You're looking in the wrong direction." Like those earliest disciples, we get distracted and look in the wrong places for news of God's plans for us. There was something different in store for them than whatever they imagined, just as there undoubtedly is for us too. Those two vested in white have instructions for the gathered group. It's pretty straightforward and can't get much more concise than this. Wait. They really were reminding the group of Jesus' own instructions before his physical departure from the world. Wait here. And that's just what they're doing at the end of this opening passage from the Acts of the Apostles. They didn't know that they weren't so much at the end of something as at the beginning of something they could never have foreseen. They didn't know their feet were planted on page one of the book about them and their deed, their acts. A bit like us at this moment. We're thinking, when is this going to be over? They might have been thinking, well, that's that. Just as they obviously were after the crucifixion, then their main concern was how to hunker down, hide out, and then sneak out of town without being detected after a period of mourning. And then return to their lives as they were before all this began, before that terrifying week leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. But it wasn't to be a return to life as usual. Not for them, not for us. We don't know what life is going to look like after the final all clear, if there is to be such a thing. Maybe after a vaccine is discovered and administered to everyone. But even then, life, as if none of this had happened, unlikely. Here's another thing we have in common with that band of 11 plus. Well, plus the certain women, Jesus' mother and brothers. Here's a common thread. After all was said and done, after the great event of Pentecost, the world and much of the people in it did what they always do, settle into life as usual, or try to. Our world will have a similar pull toward an imagined normalcy, sometimes and almost always erroneously called the good old days. But we need to consider, and this week until Pentecost is an excellent time for such reflection, what this means for us who are called, as those first disciples were, to mighty acts of love in a world committed to business as usual. Then and now, the outer signs of business as usual are in place. But focusing on that might be to overlook what God has in store for us, a world infused with divine love in which we all are flawed agents of that love. Such a world is being made new over and over again, sometimes in the wake of cataclysmic events such as those then and these now, sometimes in the day-to-day life in God's creation. The apostles' story and that of the church being born unfolded in this book bearing their name, in a world forever changed by their faithfully following the Holy Spirit into unknown territory. And we collaborate with them and God to write this present chapter of that book, to continue that journey into the future God intends for us and for those who follow us. After I'd put this to bed yesterday, words from Shakespeare's Tempest, not Huxley's book, came to me. Oh, wonder, how many goodly creatures are there here? How beauteous mankind is. Oh, brave new world that has such people in it. They and we are such people, guided by God's grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophet. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for our presiding Bishop Michael, for our bishops Andy, Jeff, Kay and Hector, for our priest Michael, for our missionary Jeannie, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may find and be found by him. I ask your prayers for the departed, especially for Judy Cervantes Olivares, Elizabeth Nichols, Russ Archibald, John Myers, Buck, and for all who have died from the COVID-19. Pray for those who have died. I ask your prayers for John, Barry, Morgan, Victoria, Kay, Bob, Richard, Shelley, Allison, Jackie, Calvin, women in the Hutto facility, Jaden, James, Jenny, Dee, Miranda, Jackie, Dale, Leslie, Lee, Melissa, John, Ann, Nathan, Christy, Lynn, Ellie, Paul, Merle, June, Linda, Mike, Shauna. Alan, Marcel, Matt, Ashley, Patty, Mark, Lottie, Scott, Caitlin, Carl, Theoringo, Kenyon, Sarah, Ann, Clay, Janice, Tyler, Karen, Cheryl, Mark, Anna, Swan White families, Curtis, Teresa, Martha and Larry, Barbara, Bailey family, Digga Carroll family, Bonnie and Ed, Melissa and Sean, Charisse, Jackie, RJ. I ask your prayers for all who serve in the military, especially Brian, Eric, James, Trevor, Kevin, Curtis, Gerard, Brian, Jonathan, and all in harm's way, in wit. I ask your prayers for all who are traveling this week. I ask your prayers for all who mourn, especially the families of Josh Amadeus, Elizabeth Nichols, Russ Archibald, Jeanette Moore, and John Myers. I ask your prayers of thanksgiving for the birthday of J.J. Gonzalez and for the anniversary of Jane Schuyler and Otis McClay. I invite your prayers of thanksgiving at this time. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Keep us, good Lord, under the shadow of your mercy. Sustain and support the anxious. Be with those who care for the sick, and lift up all who are brought low, that we may find comfort knowing that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And on this Memorial Day, O God, we ask your strength that we might dedicate ourselves to perfecting your kingdom of peace and justice among nations. Let us give thanks for the many blessings of freedom which we possess, purchased at the cost of many lives and sacrifices. Fill us with courage to fulfill our task and in no way break faith with the fallen. We commend these fallen to your mercy and ask that you give them eternal rest. This we ask and pray in your name. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Once again, I'm going to unmute everyone. Let the chaos flow. The peace of the Lord be always with Lord. You.
And also with you.
With you.
Peace with you all. Why should the virtual peace be any less chaotic than the
right.
physical?
Blow the whistle.
Wonderful peace. To see you all here. Look at that screen full of folks. It's saying that there are 25 screens full of people here now. That is just great.
We're here.
Yay, I'm so glad.
And some on audio.
Yeah. Oh, there, that's Bobby and George. That's great.
Yeah.
I have Carol memorized at 0152, but I'm afraid I don't have other telephone numbers memorized. Stick around for coffee hour, if you will, please, and we can chat about what may be coming up. You may have questions about that. Or just to check in with each other. I mean, it's a chance to do that. And so what if we trip over each of your speech during coffee hour? That's just fine.
May Almighty God, who has redeemed us and made us his children through the resurrection of his Son, our Lord, bestow upon you the riches of his blessing. Amen. May God, who through the water of baptism has raised us from sin into newness of life, make you holy and worthy to be united with Christ forever. Amen. May God, who has brought us out of bondage to sin into true and lasting freedom in the Redeemer, bring you to your eternal inheritance. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.